Macmillan Audio presents Shadows in Flight by Orson Scott Card. Read for you by Scott Brick, Emily Janice Card, Kirby Hayborn, and Stefan Rudnicki.
Chapter 1. In the Giant's Shadow. The starship Herodotus left Earth in 2210 with four passengers. It accelerated nearly to light speed as quickly as it could, and then stayed at that speed, letting relativity do its work. On Herodotus, just over 5 years had passed. It had been 421 years on Earth. On Herodotus, the three 13-month-old babies had turned into 6-year-olds, and the giant had outlived his life expectancy by 2 years. On Earth, starships had been launched to found 93 colonies, beginning with the worlds once colonized by the Formics and spreading to other habitable planets as soon as they were found. On Herodotus, the 6-year-old children were small for their age, but brilliant beyond their years, as the giant had been when he was little, for in all four of them, Anton's key had been turned, a genetic defect and a genetic enhancement at the same time. Their intelligence was beyond the level of savants in every subject matter, without any of the debilitations of autism. But their bodies never stopped growing. They were small now, but by age 22, they would be the size of the giant, and the giant would be long dead. For he was dying, and when he died, the children would be alone.
In the Ansible room of Herodotus, Andrew Ender Delphiki sat perched on three books atop a seat designed for adults. This was how the children operated the main computer that processed communication through the Ansible, the instant communicator that kept Herodotus linked to all the computer networks of the 94 worlds of Starways Congress. Ender was reviewing a research report on genetic therapy that showed some promise when Carlotta came into the Ansible room. "Sergeant wants a Sibmoot."
"You found me," said Ender. "So can he."
Carlotta looked over his shoulder at the holo display.
"Why do you bother?" she said. "There's no cure. Nobody's even looking for it anymore."
"The cure is for us all to die," said Ender. "Then Anton syndrome disappears from the human species."
"We'll die eventually," said Carlotta. "The giant is dying now."
"You know that's all Sergeant wants to talk about."
"Well, we have to talk about it, don't we?"
"Not really. It'll happen, and then we'll deal with it." Ender did not want to think about the giant's death. It was overdue, but as long as the giant lived, Ender could hope to save him, or at least bring him good news before he died.
"We can't talk in front of the giant," said Carlotta.
"He's not here in the Ansible room," said Ender.
"You know he can hear us here if he wants."
The more time Carlotta spent with Sergeant, the more she sounded like him, paranoid. "The giant is listening."
"If he's hearing us now, he knows we're having a meeting and what it's about, and so he'll listen wherever we are.
Sergeant feels better about it when we take precautions."
"I feel better when I'm allowed to do my work."
"Nobody in the universe has Anton syndrome except us," Carlotta said.
"So the researchers have all stopped working on it, even though there's perpetual funding. Get over it."
"They've stopped, and I haven't," said Ender.
"How can you research it without lab equipment, without test subjects, without anything?"
"I have this incredibly brilliant mind," said Ender cheerfully. "I look at all the genetic research they're doing, and I'm connecting it with what we already know about Anton's key from back in the days when top scientists were working hard on the problem. I connect things that the humans could never see."
"We're humans," said Carlotta wearily.
"Our children won't be."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?